Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
How many of you have ever watched back in the day the Colbert Report? This one particular time, he interviewed Georgia's 8th District representative who had co-sponsored a bill. And this bill was requiring the display of the Ten Commandments in the House and the Senate chambers. Now, he gave the congressman ample time to explain why he felt the Ten Commandments were important and why he felt that they should be in those two buildings displayed. And then Colbert kind of leaned back and said, well, okay, Representative, I'd just like to ask you one more thing, Congressman. What are the Ten Commandments? And the congressman took a breath and said, you want me to repeat? And Colbert leaned back and said, yep, give me the Ten Commandments. And he named three of them and began to struggle. Now, some of you are panicked right now. Am I going to pop quiz? I can see it. The sweat's starting to bead because I recognize that same view on the congressman's forehead there. Well, in 2007, there was a survey done. 1,000 people were quizzed on what the ingredients of a Big Mac were. So let's try it. Right? I'm going to see if we can say it today. To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onion, and a sesame seed bun. Wow. Let's try something else here. Let's name the three stooges. Mo, Larry. Now I'm going to really see. Let's see if we can name all of the six kids from the Brady Bunch. Let's start with the boys. You had Greg, Peter, Bobby, and you had the girls. You had Marsha, Jan, and Cindy. Marsha, right? Okay. We know this. Okay. Okay. Well, let's all say the Ten Commandments together. Ready? Thou shalt love the... Well, you know, thinking about this, what was sad was here's what came out of that survey. Just like we did here. People know the ingredients of a Big Mac better than they know the Ten Commandments. Americans. Okay. Now it's even worse when we go to Europe. In fact, Dr. Kenyon Curtin of the Family Research Council, after reading this report, wrote this. The majority of Americans can tell us the Ten Commandments, but they're not set in stone. For a majority of Americans, the Ten Commandments are not set in stone. 60% of Americans cannot name five of the Ten Commandments. 60% cannot name five of the ten. In fact, what Americans do know is amazing. Again, 74% of Americans knew the Three Stooges, which was about, I think we did higher than that. 35% of the Americans can name all the kids from the Brady Bunch. I think we did higher than that as well. 25% of Americans named all six ingredients of a Big Mac. Only 14% could name all Ten Commandments accurately. Here's the sad part. 78% of Americans feel that the Ten Commandments are important, and in fact, at this time of the survey, we're in favor of them being displayed in judicial buildings. So 78% think it's a good thing. 78% are in favor of the Ten Commandments. I gotta put this up so I can keep an eye on Dave. Okay, now I can watch him there. Okay. 78% think that they're important, but only 14% can accurately tell you what they are. Now that says some huge, huge things, okay? There's an underlying sense that the Ten Commandments are important, but we really don't understand how they function in our society. Most people lump them together, and they do what Jesus said in Matthew 6:12. They say the golden rule: treat others as you wish to be treated. Now Jesus said this is kind of summing it all up. But in actuality, the Ten Commandments are important. Now, there is a loud minority, and I will stress, it is a loud and it is a minority in the United States culture right now that are moving to scrub our culture and our history of any Judeo-Christian influence or input. But let's ask ourselves for a moment. If we remove the Ten Commandments, what exactly is our moral center going to be? What defines good? What defines evil? Because the truth is, history shows that when we adopt a moving target of a moral north that is self-identified by the masses, it can lead to quite tragic results. And when we move the Almighty from His place of authority in our lives, again, it has tragic results. Not that we somehow move God off of His sovereign throne, but rather we walk away from the covenant relationship that He offers. That's what we're going to talk about over the next 10 weeks. Now, we've seen this played out in societies throughout the ages, in a rise and a fall. And as we begin our 10-week journey in the book of Exodus, I want to start with, this morning, a few statements. The first statement is what are the Ten Commandments are, and the second statement is going to talk about what the Ten Commandments are not. And then we'll look at the First Commandment. So that's our glide path for today. Let's start at what the Ten Commandments are. The first thing of what the Ten Commandments are that you need to know is this. The Ten Commandments are from God. Now, Exodus chapter 20, if you had your finger there, let's look at verses 1 and 2. And I underline that. Let's read this together because we all need to kind of get this in our heart. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. So right there, we know something about the author. Okay? Who wrote the Ten Commandments? God authored the Ten Commandments. It was God who was the author. Why is that important? Some people think that, oh, it was a church movement, or it was a people movement, or it was the elders movement. No, the Ten Commandments came from why this is important is there's times that I've read articles, and at the end of the article, I sit back and I think, what in the world was this guy trying to get at? And then I will research who the author is. And when I learn about the author, then the writing makes sense. You follow me? Now, why is this important with the Ten Commandments? Because if the author is God, what do we know about God? Let's finish this sentence from our last series. God is... Oh, thank heavens you got that. I was going to have a real, real hard time. First service, not many people got that. Yeah, God is love. So what does God do? God does love. He is love. His actions are loving. What is His purpose? It is love. Everything God does is about love because that's what He is. So if God is love, the Ten Commandments are... It's all the same answer, guys. Come on here. Yeah. Now, sadly, when you talk to people about what the Ten Commandments are, there is this new... It's not new. It's been around for a long time. That the Ten Commandments are somehow a buzzkill. The Ten Commandments are somehow a way to keep us from having too much fun. The Ten Commandments are about God keeping us kind of ordered in. It's that playpen that doesn't let us get too far off one extreme or the other. And to be honest, a lot of us probably have that mindset. The Ten Commandments are the thou shalt not. It's the grouchy old guy on the porch saying, don't walk on the grass. Now, just for a moment, over the next 10 weeks, I want to break apart the Ten Commandments and look at the heart of God. And what we're going to see is a God of love and a God of covenant. So that was the first point. The Ten Commandments are from God. The second thing that you need to know about the Ten Commandments is the Ten Commandments are for our good. Okay, there's a reason that we have them. The intent of the Ten Commandments, as we said, it is love between us and God and love between us and one another. It promotes healthy relationships. Seriously, how healthy of a relationship if Katie Hole and I are going to have a healthy relationship, a healthy friendship, is it going to be very healthy if I lie all the time? No. I call this series tension. T-E-N for the Ten Commandments, tension. Because when you violate one of the Ten Commandments, it brings stress into your life. It causes tension. And as we break them down, we're going to find out why that is. All right? So the Ten Commandments are for our good. They promote healthy relationships. Now, the preface was, God brought us out of slavery. He said, and God spoke all these words to saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So in other words, I've got something more for you. I'm calling you to relationship, and this is going to help you sustain it. If this thing is going to work, if this relational thing is going to work, I need to give you some helps. I need to give you some instructions. They're not a list of ways that God came up with to take fun out of our life, but rather they are some commands and directions on how we can enjoy the best life with Him and with one another. They are rules for an orderly society. I like orderly societies. Now, sometimes, you know, you get a bunch of 4 or 5 year olds together and chaos ensues. Okay, I'm not gifted for that demographic. You know, I walk into that and my blood pressure immediately goes up. It's like, I can't handle that. I would not be a good daycare worker or any of those. That's just not in my wheelhouse. I like some semblance of order. And when there's chaos, it's like, you know, people get hurt. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. So let's focus in on why the Ten Commandments are good for us. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. This is part of the intent and the philosophy behind it. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. This is Moses talking in the re-giving of the law. That you may do them in the land to which you are going to what? Possess it. So the Ten Commandments are going to help you possess it. A few weeks ago, we had this lottery. Was it $470 million? Was that how much it was? 470? $750 million. Did you win it? Okay, you kind of knew it there. So anyway, yeah. So what scares me is you read article after article, and the stats are mind-boggling of how many people hit a major windfall of cash, and just a few years later, you know, like a decade later, they're broke. Isn't that crazy? It's like, I have all of this blessing, I have all of this stuff for you, and then we just run through it, and we don't possess it. It possesses us. What if I told you that God has the windfall for you? He has something so massive, so life-changing, so fulfilling for you, and He wants you to be able to sustain it. He wants you to be able to hold on to it. He wants it to be a constant thing that you just don't run through it. That's what the Ten Commandments are. They help you to possess the future, the purpose that God has for you. Verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's sons. In other words, the Ten Commandments are going to help you and your family. By keeping all His statutes and His commandments, which I commanded you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. The Ten Commandments are going to help you live long. If I go around murdering people, it's not a prescription for long life now, is it? Right? If I go around committing adultery, it's not going to help things in my life a whole lot now, is it? If I got quiet, we got murderers and adulterers here. What's going on here? Better change the sermon here. Let's go back here. All right. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, here's the reason. I'm the author, and here's my intent. I want you to be able to have all, everybody say all, that God has for you. Here's some things that are going to help you do that. Let's go to on a few chapters later in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 through 20. Because the decision is ours of how we respond to them. It says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. So there's a choice before us. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in His ways and by keeping His commandments and His statutes and His rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Let me tell you this. God's love is unconditional. You thankful for that? Right. God's covenants have conditions. God's blessings have conditions. I can put myself into the position of receiving God's blessing, or I can put myself in the position of receiving curses or not receiving God's blessings. It has to do with obedience to what He has for us, okay? But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but you are drawn away to worship other gods and to serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. There's a long list of perishing here. Seriously, if you walk around killing and lying and murdering, killing and murdering, there you go. If you walk around murdering and committing adultery and lying and being dishonest and all of these different things, if you walk around like that, it ain't going to go well for you, is it now? Unless you're really good at it, right? No, no. I declare you today that you shall surely perish and you shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to be blessed. So the Ten Commandments are from God. The Ten Commandments are for our good, our protection. They give us an orderly society. And the Ten Commandments are good for us. They're for our good and they're good for us. They help us in mainly in our relationship. They're not the foundation of our relationship, but they help us in a healthy relationship with God and a healthy relationship with one another. Think about this. James Madison said in 1778, okay? It's one of our founders. James Madison said this. We have staked out the whole future of American civilization not upon government. Far from it. We've staked the future of all our political institutions. In other words, our politics are based upon, he goes, our capacity to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. Oh, the best way I can tell you is freedom only works. This great American experiment that we're walking through, freedom only works for a morally responsible people. And the morality of our nation was based on a Judeo-Christian imprint, which is based on the Ten Commandments. Only a virtuous people will remain free and prosperous. Let me say that again. Only a virtuous people will remain free and prosperous. So, I've told you a little bit about what the Ten Commandments are. That was not an exhaustive list. Let's go to our second point. What the Ten Commandments are not. And this is huge. If you don't get anything today, get this point. So everybody take a good deep breath because it's a little warm in the room. 75. Okay. Take a deep breath. Get oxygen in your brain. So now we can listen. Everybody ready? I'm going to look for the eyes. No sleepy eyes? Good. We got it. Okay. I'll give you as much energy as I have, but this is a big important point. Here's what the Ten Commandments are not. And here's what survey after survey after survey and conversation that I have had with individuals, it scares me. It frightens me. Because you ask people, what does it mean to be a Christian? And they say, to follow the Ten Commandments. No, buzz, wrong answer, no. That's not the end all. Are you going to do it? Yeah, you're going to do it because you love them. But that does not make it happen. Look, the Ten Commandments are not a means to salvation. People after people, they say that. The Ten Commandments. Oh, follow the Ten Commandments. That's what makes you good. You are good because by faith you have received ultimate goodness inside of you. Your righteousness is not externally generated. It is internally imputed to you by Jesus Christ through faith. Your faith in God, you stand behind and stand in front of God and he looks at you and he doesn't say, how well did you follow the law? He says, how perfectly did Jesus fulfill the law? And if you have faith in him, that you are as clear and as clean as Jesus. You are as right as Jesus. I can't attain that. Guys, that's the gospel. Romans, Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 3 verses 20 through 25. For by works of the law, Ten Commandments, as well as the others, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, meaning God. since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there's no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a what? As a gift through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. I want to ask you a question. Think about this. The Ten Commandments came after they left Egypt, right? Remember, as we read in Exodus chapter 20, it says, "And God spoke these words, saying, I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Brothers and sisters in the room today, how did they come out of Egypt? By obeying the Ten Commandments? They hadn't been given the Ten Commandments yet. So how did they come out of? By the blood of the Lamb. They came out of Egypt. What'd you say? What, you're laughing? Oh, you're whispering it to Wayne? Oh, teacher's pet there. I see how Wayne is. Okay. Don't lie. We're going to study that in a little bit. Yeah. Hey, here's how they came out of Egypt. They didn't come out of Egypt by God saying, "Oh, we got the whole checklist here. Oh, if you've done the whole, if you've obeyed the law." We haven't been given the law. They came out of Egypt because of the blood of the Passover lamb that was slain and then applied to the doorpost of their life. They had belief in what God said and what God instituted, and what a fantastic image that God gives for us. He was foreshadowing His plan of salvation. I get you out of captivity and bondage by the blood of the Lamb. I want to jump. You are like, amen, preacher. I'm like, yeah! Man, I'll tell you what. I get excited about this stuff because this is the plan that God had for all of us. So, our salvation comes through the blood of the Lamb. Contrary to popular belief, obeying the law does not make us right in God's sight, but rather, the law lets us know how much we constantly, consistently, every single day, need God's love, His provision for us, and how constantly it is here for us. It allows us to understand some of God's character and nature and God's holiness. Now, second part of what the Ten Commandments are not. The Ten Commandments are not invalid or revoked. Guys, Jesus did not abolish the Ten Commandments. He came to fulfill them for us. Matthew 5, 17 through 20. "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law." This is Jesus talking. "Or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So Jesus said, look, I'm not doing away with them. I get tired. I grow tired of Christians who say, "I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. I can do whatever I want now." If you're really saved by the blood of Jesus, if He is your Savior and your Lord, you're going to want to do what He wants you to do. I grow tired of these folks who cheapen grace. And I have brothers and sisters who act like, you know what, it doesn't matter because I'm just going to tell God I'm sorry and so it's okay. That's doctrine. I mean, that seriously, that's doctrine in some places. I can do whatever I want as long as I just say I'm sorry. And people plan on sinning. They plan on sinning and then plan on saying I'm sorry, to which Hebrews says, look, that ain't real. If you continually sin after you have a knowledge, there's nothing left except judgment. There's no more sacrifice for sin, is how the writer of Hebrews says. Well, Pastor, you're kind of running back and forth of obedience or follow, you know, following the law or by grace. I hope that you have a healthy tension. I think a healthy tension is a healthy thing there. A healthy tension of understanding. If my heart is for God, I want to do what Daddy likes. I want to make Daddy happy because I know He loves me and I want to love Him the way He has prepared me to love Him. "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth passed away, not one iota, not one dot." He's saying, not one little grammatical marking, not the most insignificant little mark in the language. Not one little thing will pass away from the law until it is all accomplished. And verse 19 makes me very, very scared. "Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And I tell you what, it scares me. It scares me. Our society right now, we're at that precipice where we say this. You know what? This Bible worldview, it's uncomfortable to us. We're an evolved society. We know right and wrong better than what the Bible declares it. So let's go rewrite it. Hey guys, look, this is a society in which we live in. There, verse 20, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a scary verse. But think, the scribes and Pharisees' righteousness was founded in obeying the law. Our righteousness can exceed them because I've got the righteousness of Jesus. As do you by faith. That's good stuff. All right. The Ten Commandments, they're not a means to salvation. The Ten Commandments are not invalid or revoked, and the Ten Commandments are not a replacement for relationship. Rather, the Ten Commandments make us conscious of our constant need for Jesus, and they assist us in healthy relationship with God and with man. Here's now our final point is this. The first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, a lot of people read this and say, okay, I can roll with this. I will have no other gods before you, but I'll have some gods after you. That's not what this is saying. This verse is not saying, you can have some other gods, but they have to come after me. Some people actually read it that way. Thou shalt have, now understand who this was written. This is written to an individual who just came out of, I think it's over 2,000 gods in Egypt. Over 2,000 gods, 2,000 deities. They had over 2,000. So they're called out of this polytheistic culture. They're called into another culture that is polytheistic with Baal and Asherah, all these different gods. And he's saying, look, no. You shall have no other gods. A better translation to understand this is you shall have no other gods, period. That's in essence what is being said. Look, there's one God. It's me. So my question today is this. Do we have other gods? Well, what is a god? Who has the seat of authority, control, respect, or prominence? You see, again, this is for our God. Relationship with God is a covenant with one. He is our God, period. Now, why do I say this? Because when we have other gods, when we have other people, other things on the seat of authority, on the seat of control, on the seat of ultimate respect or prominence, that they make us generate our decisions based on them, that's another god. And other gods equals stress and brings captivity. When you have another god, it will take you captive. Why? Because Moses told us, look, when you go into the land, if you adopt their gods, they're going to enslave you. So if money is your god, let's just talk turkey. If money is your god, don't you know that money will enslave you? If promiscuity is your god, it's what identifies you. It's what gives you value. Do you know that that will enslave you? People go online. They think they're anonymous. I guarantee you, you're not. God is with you always. If, you know, a lot of us, our job, to be honest, we make our job our God. We make what other people, some people make their family their God. Your family is a gift from God. It's not your God. As I've told you before, I'm the best husband. Let me finish the statement. I am the best husband, best father, best pastor when I keep it in the right place. And I struggle at times. People can attest to that. Same as you. You want to be the very best you can? Here's what I got to tell you. Have no other gods. Period. Have God. Be in the right relationship with God. Have God at the place of prominence. And then you're going to love in agape love. Other gods equal stress, bring captivity. And maybe the best way to say it is this. God wants you all to himself. He says, I'm the God who brought you out of Egypt. Let's keep you out of Egypt. Let's keep you free.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.